Praise the Lord, church. Good afternoon. My name is Kevin Ejiofor. We're going to have a panel discussion about evangelism. This is something I want everybody to pay attention to, because if you really consider yourself a Christian, soul winning should be at the center, like the core of your being. We don't want people going to hell. We want people to go to heaven. So this is something that we should all learn about. Okay? And
praise the Lord, church. My name is Esther Ewe.
And then, yeah, introduce yourself.
My name is Christian Oyechi.
All right, so these are our panelists, and we're going to go ahead with the first question. We don't want to waste your time. The first question we're going to talk about, could you guys tell us about your motivation to evangelize, and how did your first experience turn out, if you do remember it? Any one of you can answer.
Okay, I take that. Motivation to evangelize. My motivation to evangelize stems from the love of God. God is love, we know, in 1 John 4:8. God gave up his son. He sacrificed Jesus Christ to save the whole world. And so we are compelled to love God back. It is his heartbeat. He loves the whole world. That's why he sacrificed Jesus Christ. John 3:16. And I am compelled to do evangelism. Why? Because of the love of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15 tells me that all those of us who are believers, who believe in Jesus Christ, should no longer live for ourselves, but should live for Jesus Christ, who died for us and rose again. So I'm compelled by the love of him. And I know that Jesus said in the book of John 14:16, that he said, all those who are outside, they should be brought in to hear his voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. And how can this be done effectively if not through evangelism? I also know that Romans 10:13-14 says that people will believe in Jesus when they hear about him. And if they don't hear about him, they cannot believe in him. And how can they hear if we, the believers, don't tell them? So we are compelled to tell people about Jesus Christ. Paul also goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 1:9, it says, I say, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. And I feel that to be my portion. Woe unto me if I do not. Jesus Christ said, if you love me, you will obey me and keep my commandments. So when he has mandated us, we know we have a mandate. Matthew 28:19-20, he says, go ye into the world and make disciples of all nations. We know that. And he empowered us in Acts 1:8. He empowered us, he says, we should receive power so we can be his witnesses. So, brethren, when we look at it and know that this is what Jesus wants, is his heartbeat, that we win souls into the kingdom. And then there's rejoicing in heaven over one soul that repents. That compels me. It moves me to evangelize. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And in my experience, my first experience wasn't a very palatable one because, you know, God saved in Nigeria, but I didn't have opportunity to share tracts or preach as such. But when I got here in my first job, I had a very bitter experience, which didn't deter me from what I had to do. You know, in my job, they wanted to go to Atlantic City by bus to go and play casino, and they wanted me to be part of it. But I said, no, I wouldn't go. They said, it will give me pleasure. I said, my pleasure is only in talking about Jesus. That's where I get my pleasure. I fellowship with fellow brethren. They made caricature of me. They were trying to ostracize me, but it didn't move me. Then someday, one of them met me, giving out trusts in extra supermarket, and he said, oh my God, Esther, so this thing you do and say at work, you carry it to this extent? I can't believe it. I said, well, when he got a chance to approach me, when people have moved away, he said, this is what you do. I said, this is what I do. It's what gives me pleasure. Talking about Jesus is my greatest joy. He laughed. He shook his head, snapped his hand, and, you know, he said he couldn't believe it. He walked away. So later on, some years later, I bumped into him, and he was beaming with smiles and said, Esther, you know, I am not born again, and I'm preaching the gospel because of you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I just congratulated him. I said, thank God. Praise God.
All right. Thank you, Auntie. I like that your motivation to evangelize, because, you know, we can't just look at somebody and say, oh, they're lost. Oh, that person is wayward. Like, we have to go and talk to them. That's what Jesus would want. So I'll just go on to the next question. How do you go about evangelizing to a person of a different religion? Because not everybody is a Christian out there. There are different religions out there. So how do you guys go about that?
Yeah, one of the things that the scripture told us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost is upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Samaria, in Judea, and to the ends of the earth. So, when Jesus was talking about this, he didn't say, oh, somebody may be from somewhere else, you know, far away. He might be in India or something like that. You know, so we need the Holy Spirit to help us when we go to evangelize, because that's primarily why the Holy Ghost is given to us, to be witnesses of Christ. You know, if you have a Muslim person or anybody who has a different religion, the Holy Spirit will guide you into talking to them exactly what they need to hear. You know, I have a lot of Muslims in my office and a lot of Hindus. So I communicate to these people the word of God. I had an experience where I had one guy, he said, oh, you need to go, you need to reach Kama. You need to be, you know, when you get to the period of karma, and when you die, if your goodness passes your badness, then you go to a different caste. But if you did your badness is greater than your goodness, you become a lower caste. You can become a dog when you reincarnate to come back again. So I centered on that. The Holy Spirit helped me, and I spoke to him. He says, so supposing you became a dog, you know, no dogs do right things, and then the dog dies, you become an amoeba. So you keep going down. So where will you end? You say, your destiny is, there's a folly to it. So you need, there's Jesus. He came here, you know, he came here on earth and became, you know, this year is 2017. Is the day Jesus Christ came. This is remembered because of Jesus. So you need Jesus. And I spoke to him the language of Christ. That's what we need. People from other religion, you need to speak Christ and Christ alone. You don't need to learn their language. You don't need to learn their method, the method they use in teaching their religion. You don't need their religion. You need Christ. You need to preach Christ. Amen.
That's very awesome. Like, I like what you said. Just preach Christ. When you preach Christ, it's the power of God to salvation. So now it's between them and God. God will use what you said about Christ to talk with them and bring them to Christ. So I like what you said about that. The next question is, how do you handle rejection from people? And, like, how do you overcome that feeling of not wanting to offend people, especially those who are considered like your close friends? You know what, let me take this one. So how do I handle rejection from people? One thing I have to get through my mind based off the scriptures is that people are going to reject you if you're going to preach about Christ, because Christ and the world are two different sides. And Jesus literally said, they will hate you because they hated me without any cause. So with that being said, I go out to evangelize, and I get rejected. I'll feel that sting, I feel that pain, that hurt that, oh, they rejected me. One thing that I do is that I talk to God about it. I vent it out to God. And a lot of times God just comforts me with his word. He just tells me about, like, he reminds me of scriptures about, like, you're blessed when you're persecuted. You're those who endure suffering with me, they will reign with me. Like, those type of scriptures, he reminds you of them, and it helps you brush off that rejection. Another thing that I found very helpful is that when we go out to evangelize, we usually go out in pairs of twos or threes. That helps out a lot because I noticed that when we do go to preach to somebody and they reject you, a lot of times we just look at each other, laugh it off, and then brush it off and keep going. Or the other person just encourages the other to keep going. Like, you know how it says in Ecclesiastes that two is better than one. When one falls, the other one picks them up. If somebody's getting attacked, they can stand back to back and defend each other. So that's something that I noticed about, like, when handling rejection.
And also, they can ridicule you beyond measure. I remember when I became a Christian, the first thing I did, because I saw all these Christians, the Christians were wearing pencils at that time, and we were wearing, we had bongos and everything. So the very first time I came to them, they saw my pencil. They started laughing. Jewish man, they ridiculed me in front of everybody to the extent that I had to walk away. You know, I mean, it is real ridicule. In this country, people don't ridicule you. They do ridicule, but they call it bullying. But Nigeria, they bully you to such an extent that you do not even know what to say. You had to walk out. Thank you.
Yes, but you know that even though they ridicule you, like at place of work, when they have some things going on, they'll want your help. They'll call you to pray for them. They were calling me to pray for them when they were celebrating birthdays and all that kind of thing. But they will be doing like they don't want to hear about the gospel. So let it not, you should not be bothered at all. You have to do what you have to do. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. And then the second part of that question, I'll keep this brief, about how to overcome that feeling of not wanting to offend people, especially those that are considered your close friends. Another thing that God showed me was that, like, and Auntie Esther already touched on it, is that you look beyond the offense and you look at the end goal. You look at somebody and you see that they're going towards destruction. It's just like somebody standing in a train track and a train is coming. You don't say, oh, if I tell her that to come off the train track, she's going to get offended and start yelling at me. Like, no, you tell them, like, look, there's a train coming. I don't want you to get hit. That's literally a heart of love right there. I remember I had a friend that came to Jesus, like, back in, like, 2020, about around the pandemic. And before that, I'll be talking to him, but, like, I wouldn't really tell him about Jesus. I'll be speaking to him in parables. I don't know why. But literally, there was one time we were having a conversation, and he was like, Kevin, you knew all this when I was going through what I was going through. How come you didn't tell me? And I was like, oh, wow. And it just, like, made me realize that I have to look past that offense and tell them about Jesus. Jesus is the one that really saves. People need to know that, even though they're going to get routed with you initially. But, yeah, they need to know that. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The next question is, what are some ways you use to start a conversation about Jesus when we go out to evangelize? Go ahead.
Okay, I'll take that. Some ways that we can use to start a conversation. Before I put out some of the ways, I have some key points I need us to hold on to in case you are opportune to meet somebody you need to talk about Jesus to. You know, the first thing is still, like I said, is out of the love of God that we are doing it. You have to bear that in mind and know that you have received power from the Holy Ghost. So you shouldn't be panicky or jittery. You should not fear what you should say. We are told that in Luke 12:12, the Spirit of God will put the right word in your mouth. You have to know that. And you have to be able to adapt to their environment or their surrounding. You know, Paul became all things to all people, to the weak. He became weak so he can win some for Christ Jesus. We see that in the book of Corinthians. We see it's Corinthians 9:22-23. So we have to do that. And in humility, we should go in humility as well. Jesus Christ, he became humble. Remember, for me and you to save us, he mingled with the weak and the poor and the sinners. And you know that in Philippians 2:7, he said we shouldn't think highly of ourselves because some people think they're too big to stand around and evangelize. Like that guy was telling me, a homie. But a homie is Esther Ewe, the child of God, and I should talk about Jesus. Praise the Lord. So you have to know that. Okay? You have to bear in mind that it's the Holy Spirit that convicts a person, not you. All we need to do is just to sow the seed. John 16:8 tells us the Holy Spirit convicts and converts. So, like, when you meet somebody, or maybe you're in a school, or you are at work, or your business area, wherever you meet somebody, you have to approach the person with a smile. Smile first, you know? Then ask how their day is going. Ask of their name. And then from there, you can express about the weather. The weather is good today. And it's all because of the love of God for us, God's mercy. And when once you brought God there, you will also have to bring in Jesus, that Jesus loves the person and loves you. And then ask the person if the person goes to church. Have you heard about Jesus Christ, that he loves you? And then from there, conversation goes. Then you have to give the person time to express himself or herself. And then that's when you ask the person, are you born again? If the person says he goes to church, are you born again? If the person says no, and it's time to lead the person, tell the person that today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late for the person to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you explain. Tell the person what the Lord has done for you. You were like that person, but you got saved. And God has done a lot for you. And we do a lot for the person as well. So just give them that brief a story about yourself. And then, you know, as they open up, you listen, you have to listen to them. Okay, so when you accept Jesus Christ, then if you have tracts, you give tracts. If you don't have tracts, you can just talk. When they accept, you lead them to say the sinner's prayer and then pray for them. As if they have prayer requests, pray for them. Assure them that you will call and check on them, how they are doing. Advise them to get a Bible-living church, and if not, invite them to our church. You have to get their phone number and their name, and it will be given to the follow-up ministry, okay, or to evangelism ministry. That's what you have to do. And tell them that our church may also give them a call. This is very important. Awesome. So that's all I want to just let you know that. And you know, there's a reward. You have a reward for, you know, preaching the gospel. You say, beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel, right? You want your feet to be beautiful. All from head to toe. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Awesome. I just want to piggyback on that, you know. I mean, 1 Peter 3:15-16 says, but in your heart, honor Jesus, the Lord, as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. Now, wherever you are, you're supposed to preach the gospel. I preached in the elevator. Somebody came in and yabbed something. He gave me the opportunity. You know, many, many, many years ago when we were in the Scripture Union, our heart desire is we go to a party. It's not about the party. It's about the opportunity to talk about Jesus Christ. You know, Dr. Monroe said something that is very profound. He says, it's good for you to be prepared and not have opportunity, and have an opportunity and not prepared. So we need to be prepared all the time to give an answer to people. The last time I went for my physical, I got a new doctor in my physical. So he's, you know, doctors, you know, most of you doctors, you try to begin to talk to the patient, blah, 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 blah. Then he started blabbing to me. And I said to the doctor, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Has he come into your heart to be your master and Lord? And he told me, I'm a Catholic. I said, well, it's okay for you being a Catholic, but you need to be born again. He didn't have so much time, but he had the gospel. Amen. So whenever you have an opportunity, speak the word. When you are at an offense, you're also defending yourself. You can't do things that are wrong. Amen.
Yes, praise the Lord. I also wanted to add that, you know, the evangelism can happen at any time. I saw this lady walk into my office crying, you know, he needed help in the school, a teacher. And from there, because she was crying, he opened the door for me to talk about Jesus. Then I started counseling her. After, you know, doing all her, all the necessary things, vital signs and everything, I started counseling her. I was able to counsel her. And from there, she gave her life to Christ. Okay. So that kind of opportunity comes once in a while. To all of us, wherever we are stationed. Amen. God has positioned us to do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All right, the next question is, tell us about a time when you tried to evangelize and it didn't turn out as you expected. I know it doesn't always turn out as you, a lot of people are not going to give their life to Christ as you want them to, so if you could just touch upon that, any of you guys.
You know, expectation could be either positive or negative. You know, one time I went to preach. That was in Nigeria. I was on the street preaching. And then suddenly, the lady who was hearing us, he, I don't know whether he's a maid or any, he has a baby, he has it in the back, started crying. This is a positive experience. I was not expecting somebody to come out and be crying, falling on the ground, crying, Jesus to save her. And it was so awesome. I was overwhelmed. I didn't know what to do. Then there is another time when I went to preach the gospel. Because if you know me, when I was a little younger, every weekend we're going somewhere to preach. So there we get to a town very close to Udi. And then what happened? We put up our equipment, preaching the gospel, thinking that my expectation is that people will receive our gospel. You know, they will receive our gospel. But behold, men from the village came. They seized all our equipment. They surrounded us. And I said, oh my God, this is my expectation. I didn't expect. They took the generator running into their village. I chased them. So, I mean, these are the expectations that you get when you preach the gospel. Don't think it's going to be hunky-dory. You know, they rejected Jesus. Jesus was in his hometown. Mark talks about that. He could do no mighty miracle. Why? Because they said to him, isn't this a carpenter's son? This, if they can do that to our master Jesus, they can do it to any one of us. So sometimes your expectation will be people get saved. Not everybody gets saved, but those who will receive the word will receive it. Those who can't receive the word, you move on. Praise the Lord. Your main gospel is to preach. You're not supposed to convert them. The conversion is by the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Important thing I want to add is, you know, you have to watch the person's body language when you're talking to somebody about Jesus. Be sensitive in the spirit. Watch their body language. To know when they're feeling uncomfortable, then you ask them if they're feeling uncomfortable because you're talking about Jesus. If they say no, you continue. But if they say yes, my brethren, my brother, my sister, you have to stop. Don't insist that the person must accept the gospel. You know, it's only the Holy Spirit that convicts. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I like what you guys said because it really goes back to that scripture that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Do not lean on your own wisdom. This is like, this is when you're going out to evangelize, you're not trusting in your ability to convert them, like they said. You're trusting in the Lord with all your heart. The Lord told us to just preach the good news and let him do the work, trusting in him. So I like what you guys said about that. And now we're going to go into the final question. What would you say to someone who knows that they should evangelize, but do not have the motivation to do so? And I'll take this one too. So what I'll say is very simple. There's a scripture in Proverbs that says, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 2, it says, walk with the wise and become wise. So if you want to be wise, you hang around wise people. If you want to be rich, you hang around rich people. If you want to evangelize, be around people that evangelize. The Bible talks about, like, don't neglect the gathering of the brethren. Consider one another and provoke each other to good works. So that way, like, when we come together and we have a common goal, like, to preach the good news about Jesus to people, we're provoking each other, we're motivating each other to go and do the good news. But if you're just listening to this and then you go back home and it's whatever, then I don't know where you're going to get your motivation to do it. You can also, like, relate this to, like, class. So, for example, you guys have classes, like, that have theory and practicum. You go to the theory class, you learn about it, and then you go to the practicum class and you do it. This is the same thing we do here. In this ministry, we come together, we learn about evangelism, and then after learning, we literally go outside and start doing. I heard this one quote about, it was like a research that was done. It said, if you listen to something and you don't do it within 72 hours, your chances of doing it will be very low. So that's why, like, a lot of times we come together and we learn it and we go right away and do it. Because if we start postponing it, like, oh, okay, in my private time, I will do it. A lot of times, you won't do it. So this is just something to encourage you to, if you want to really evangelize the people, come around people that do it. You could come around us. We have a ministry that do it. You could come around us and learn and get motivated and do it with us. We'll teach you. We'll disciple you how to do it, and we'll go ahead and do it. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. You know, what motivated me is a little bit different. You know, when I received the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and eventually we received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there was a movie that I watched at that time. You know, it's about hellfire. You know, there's, you know, sometimes your motivation could be, oh, Jesus loves you. But there's sometimes motivation could be terror. You see people being terrorized in hell. I was so motivated by that I need to bring everybody to the knowledge of Christ. The Bible says, if you know the terror of God, you know, you will do all within your power that your friends that you eat with today may end up there. You need to be motivated by that terror that they're going to face at the end of their lifespan. So I was motivated by that. The other thing that motivated me was there was a guy in my school at a point. This was a horrible guy, a bad guy. You know, in human standard, he's a bad guy. Then he went somewhere and became saved. He came back to the school because he's 1 year ahead of us. And he started talking about Christ. I said, awesome. Wow, this guy? Jesus brought this guy? Then he was talking to us. He said, today we're going to the market to preach. That was a motivation. I never preached in the market. I never see myself preaching in a marketplace. He says, like some of you, you say, oh, I'm introvert. I can't do this. No, you got to be motivated. Because Jesus, if you see the terror that will face the world, we need to be motivated. Let's go bring these people, depopulate hell, and bring them to the kingdom of God. I mean, this guy, we went to the marketplace. We started preaching. We started handing out tract. I never did that. It motivated me now to move forward. Awesome.
Thank Amen. You. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, just to buttress what my brother Chris said, we have to actually have like a burden in our heart, burden for the lost souls. That is the love of God, because it is God's heartbeat. We know in 2 Peter 3, 9b says that God wants everybody to be saved and come to repentance. So that should move us, brethren, because God loves us so much. What else do we have than to reciprocate his love on us and to obey Jesus? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And yeah, that concludes our panel discussion. I like what you guys said. I learned a lot. Even though we prepared for this, I still learned more right now. So thank you guys for sharing your experiences. And I hope you guys learned as well and you're motivated to go and do. Doing is very important as well. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I just want to appeal to us, all the members in this church, that evangelism is for everybody here. We are born again, and Jesus has mandated us. Okay, we are just coordinators of evangelism ministry. Jesus said, if you love him, you should obey him. Please, we are 400 and something members here. But please, can my co-coordinator stand up wherever you are? Please stand up, do God the honor and stand up. Let the church see you. That we have only... Praise the Lord. We have only 16 members. God bless you, my brethren, my co-coordinators. God bless you all for your sacrificial, service unto the Lord. The Lord God Almighty will reward you all abundantly in Jesus' name. So you have seen them. Please don't sit yet. And my thanks goes to especially the young ones. These young ones, can you look at them?
Yes, sir. Young and vibrant.
These young ones, they defied all pressure and they joined to do this work. And the Lord God Almighty will take you people to higher grounds in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, church, I want to tell us to demonstrate your commitment to the Lord. We have an evangelism program coming up on Saturday, the 20th of April. We want you all to come and let us go out. Let us all be here and storm this neighborhood, East Orange, for Jesus Christ. My special thanks, I don't know how to begin to thank our dynamic, able, humble, selfless overseer, ministerial overseer, Pastor Dorothy Emmanuel. Please give it up all for him, for her. We are following her as she follows Christ. We are following her as she follows Christ. And sir, we want to thank you too, because you have humbled yourself many a times. Our senior pastor, Father, we thank you, sir. Anyway, you are Father in the Lord. We thank you, sir, for coming out most of the times to stay with us and encourage us. The Lord will continue to bless and enrich you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So please, I'm also appealing for financial help for this ministry. Over the years, we've been doing this alone, carrying all the burden. The grills we have in the church, the gas cylinders, some of the kitchen gadgets we are purchased by evangelism, by our own little, with our little purse. But now, please, we need your help financially. Please help us. We need you to help us financially. Any little thing you give us, put it in the offering envelope. Just where they put order, write evangelism there, we'll receive it. And God will bless you abundantly in Jesus' name. Okay, so that's what I want. Just please, after today, enlist. Make God happy. Make God happy. God will bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.